It's a Tuesday. What do we do? Well, we do Dial-A-Doc with FHN, and today we're visiting with Mark Gridley. He is President and Chief Executive Officer at FHN. Hey, Mark, good morning. Hello to you.
Greetings. Good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear yours as well. Always great to talk to you. Of course, we haven't talked since April, and of course, the virus is on everybody's mind. Let's really kind of take a step back, and remind us, when did you at FHN have your first COVID-19 patient?
Well, our very first positive COVID-19 patient was back on April 10th, and our very first one in Stevenson County was back on March 22nd.
Now, that seems like it's a bit later than other parts of the country, but you guys were ready for that, right?
Absolutely, and actually we were very grateful that it was a bit later than most of the country because it allowed us some lead time to get prepared. I think one of our biggest challenges was making sure we had enough personal protective equipment. We were able to split up the hospital into separate units so that we could keep patients isolated. We were able to get a COVID aid tent set up and really work closely with the health department in putting some plans together. So we were grateful for that lead time. As little or as long as it was, we would take it.
Were there other things that you did to get ready for those first patients, Mark?
Absolutely. First was it was a lot of education for all of us, and things were changing very rapidly. It seemed like we were getting guidance from one agency versus another, and so we really had to sort out what was going on. And I'm really grateful for the physicians and the providers and the staff because they were highly engaged on what is it that we have to do? How do we access some of these different supplies? How do we look at some of the processes we have in place and change those to keep people safe? So it was pretty significant for us.
I know that you still have the tent up. I drove by the other day, and I know that the purpose of that tent has kind of evolved over time. What kind of give us the history and what's happening with the tent now?
Well, currently what we're using the tent for is to allow people that are getting tested for COVID-19 to be able to get tested outside of the hospital, outside of different facilities. So we're not bringing potentially COVID-19 patients into our facilities and exposing others. So it's allowing us to do that just off of the property and keep it isolated and protected. And it also allows us to do the mobile testing, so people, it's a lot easier for them to just come in and get through. And anytime anybody is having a procedure that's scheduled or is demonstrating symptoms, their doctor can order the test, but we want to make sure that they're negative before we expose them to our staff, patients, and others.
We're talking to the President and Chief Executive Officer of FHN, Mark Gridley, this morning on the FHN Dial-A-Doc program. Mark, I know that the Illinois Department of Health has had a pretty big role in determining your protocols and procedures. Explain to us how that works.
Oh, they have a very big role. We're actually licensed under the Illinois Department of Health, so when they have something to say, we need to be very attentive to that because it puts our licensure at risk if we don't follow those type of guidelines. But they were really the lead agency of taking a look across the state. What is it that we needed to do to be prepared, not just from a local level, but from that broader perspective. So early on, as many people may have experienced canceled appointments, it was really the Illinois Department of Public Health saying, we need to cut down exposure in our clinics for elective cases, and those are things like maybe knee surgeries or even simpler things like a colonoscopy were getting rescheduled or canceled because we wanted to make sure we were conserving that personal protective equipment, that it wasn't being used for non-emergent or urgent type of procedures. It was also with the intention of creating capacity or space within the hospitals across the state so that if we did have a significant hit and surge, which we're grateful we didn't really see the type of volumes that other areas have seen, that we would be able to accommodate that. And then also it was designed to really cut down contact for vulnerable populations of being potentially exposed in high-risk areas. So the rules really were changing on a regular basis as the situation was changing. And at times, we would have new rules to follow almost on a daily, if not weekly, basis. But thankfully, a lot of that has slowed down, but we are working together as a state health system to see what we can do to best be prepared to manage the care for our communities.
You know, Wisconsin has opened up. I know Illinois has opened up most of its businesses as well. What have you seen in terms of the numbers now in after the businesses have opened up?
We really haven't seen any, I would say, significant type of increase. Currently in the hospital right now, we have two positive patients as I'm speaking to you. Neither one of them, thankfully, are in the intensive care unit, and neither one of them are on a ventilator you hear so much about. But they are positive, and we're seeing more positives throughout the community, so those numbers are starting to rise a little bit. In total, we've seen just over 30 patients since that April 10th date, and so we're really hopeful to be able to keep those numbers low as we continue to move through the year. But it's important that it's still out there, it's serious, and we have to give it some due caution.
Are all of your offices now open at FHN, Mark?
We do have them open. We've been able to expand our hours. We still have times that the volumes are a little bit lower because I think some individuals are a little bit more hesitant about coming back into offices to resume care. Or some people have had employment status changes. So what happens with the economy directly impacts what happens with the health systems as well. And so we're ready, we're able, and we're certainly willing to serve anybody who has a need.
What about the elective or the non-emergency procedures? What's being done there?
We have resumed our elective procedures, and we're making sure that we're doing that with the utmost safety precautions being put in place. As I mentioned, we're doing testing before a patient can actually have a procedure done. Again, that's to protect the patient, that's to protect other people in the area, as well as our staff. But we've been able to resume those, and that business is continuing to pick back up. And once again, I would encourage people not to delay your care. Even though it may not be emergent, we want to make sure we're taking care of things before it does become emergent.
When we hear about numbers and all of this in terms of trying to figure out about the virus out there, I talk a lot about the positivity rate, and I know that Wisconsin has been now consistently above 5% in terms of the positivity rate, has been as high as 10%. I think yesterday it was in excess of 8%. Is that something that's important to look at, the number of positive tests compared to the number of total tests taken?
It is, and that's really important to take a look at what that ratio is, because that's really telling us, if you just look at a number of positives, sometimes that can be misleading, because you really need to know how many people were tested to say, you know, was that an increase, was a decrease, is it good or bad? Hard to tell. One of the things that I watch on a regular basis is just really seeing how many people are actually being admitted to the hospital or how many people that we have in an intensive care unit that are acutely ill, because we know that there's a great deal of our community that's been exposed and they may test positive, but they may not be demonstrating any symptoms. And thankfully, the majority of people won't necessarily become acutely ill. But at the same time, I really watch closely those people that are getting hospitalized, those people that are not doing that well, and, you know, importantly, taking a look at the deaths. But as we look at those deaths, it's also knowing that there could be other factors that are associated. So it's like anything else. When you're looking at the numbers, you really got to dig a little bit deeper. I can tell you that for Illinois, as of yesterday, or actually from July 20th to July 26th, our statewide positivity rate was 3.8%. So that's actually doing a bit better than a lot of other areas in the country.
Yeah, and it had been a lot higher early in this thing, hadn't it been?
That's correct, yes.
All right. And Stevenson County is lower than that, right?
Correct, yes. And, you know, we're very grateful for keeping it lower than that. And many of our other state-line counties are a bit lower. And, you know, I'm grateful for living in a rural community for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that we're not seeing the big increases in the urban areas, but that doesn't leave us any less protected.
You know, and there's a summer cold that I understand is going around. I know several people have a cold, and then, you start questioning, well, could that be just, limited symptomatic COVID, just a simple summer cold?
Well, it could be, but I would be cautious of jumping to that conclusion as well. This is really a peak time for allergy season as well. And many years ago in my career, I actually worked for an allergy and immunology practice, and we purposefully did not take vacations during different times of the year because we knew that those, quote, unquote, summer colds are going to be peaking up that could be allergy related as well. And there's a lot of normal respiratory things that we're seeing. And so that's the importance of getting tested so that we know for sure.
Mark, what about a second wave? Do you think we're going to have a second wave in the fall?
I hope not, but we're being prepared. Just in case that there is, you know, we have a flu season that it would be coinciding with, which creates an even greater challenge, just like those summer colds. Is it summer cold? Is it the flu? Is it COVID-19? Is it something else? But we want to be prepared for any potential second wave, so we're not letting our guard down. We've been stocking up on personal protective equipment. We have different surge plans in place, but once again, I'm hoping that we don't have to put those into place and that we can keep that number down. But it's really one of those things that we can hope, but we really want to make sure that we've planned for it as well. So we will all see what happens this coming fall.
What is important for folks out there, the listeners out there, for their families to consider now in terms of your advice for families to say stay safe and healthy?
Well, I think that many people have already heard the importance about wearing masks to protect others, you know, really following those social distancing guidelines, but doing so in a way that doesn't create social isolation. So we are very much designed to interact with each other. We're social creatures by nature. So we want to make sure that we're continuing activities and interacting with one another, but doing it in a safe way, avoiding really large crowds, but that doesn't necessarily mean avoiding people. So we want to just be cautious of that, you know, paying attention to those individuals that might be high risk because of medical conditions or age. But once again, just being safe, not socially isolating or not interacting, but figuring out even more so ways to be able to interact. And of course, washing your hands has always been a tried and true where it comes to infection prevention. I would also encourage people to get outside and really enjoy. We live in a beautiful area, and there's so much that we can be able to go out and do, and that we shouldn't let this stop us from living our lives. We certainly need to be aware of it. We need to be respectful, and we need to protect ourselves, but we don't need to be shut-ins. And I would also encourage individuals to support our local businesses. Many of our businesses have been adversely impacted, and the best way through that is to really make sure that we're supporting local for our friends, families, and neighbors. So you know, my advice, again, was to be safe, but also don't stop living.
And being outside substantially decreases your chances of catching the virus, right?
Well, being outside, you have a lot more open space, so you're able to accomplish that distancing. As being summertime, we've got a lot of sunshine, and so UV light is one of the things that kills viruses, so that's a great place to be. There's just a lot of really good reasons for being outside. It helps to build your immune system, so it's a good tactic to follow.
All right, and how can people find out more information about FHN and your COVID-19 precautions and preparations, Mark?
Well, as always, they can listen to your show, and they can also go to our website, which is www.fhn.org. We actually have a dedicated coronavirus COVID-19 page where we have lots of videos for myself, our physicians, our staff providing information, as well as links to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, the Illinois Department of Public Health, and Stevenson County Health Department.
All right, Mark.
So it's a great resource.
All right. Always great information. Great to talk to you again. I'm glad we're getting through this, but it's going to be a while yet, isn't it?
It will be. It certainly will be. And, you know, the sooner we're through to whatever this would be, the better for all of us. But in the meantime, we just have to keep that positive mindset that we are going to make it through. We're going to do the right things and keep as many people safe as possible through this event.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Appreciate it. Take care. Be well.
All right. President of and Chief Executive Officer of Mark Gridley here today of FHN. The preceding this morning brought to you today by FHN.